Mark Twain wrote many wonderful stories, including one of the greatest works of fiction to come out of the 19th century. But my favorite of his stories is a little one, Baker's Blue Jay Yarn, part of his book, A Tramp Abroad. In honor of National Blue Jay Awareness Month, here is an excerpt. Animals talk to each other, of course, there can be no question about that, but I suppose there are very few people who can understand them. I never knew but one man who could. I knew he could, however, because he told me so himself. He was a middle-aged, simple-hearted miner who had lived in a lonely corner of California among the woods and mountains a good many years and had studied the ways of his only neighbors, the beasts and the birds, until he believed he could accurately translate any remark which they made. This was Jim Baker. According to Jim Baker, some animals have only a limited education, and some use only simple words and scarcely ever a comparison or a flowery figure, whereas certain other animals have a large vocabulary, a fine command of language, and a ready and fluent delivery. Consequently, these latter talk a great deal. They like it. They are so conscious of their talent, and they enjoy showing off. Baker said that after long and careful observation, he had come to the conclusion that the blue jays were the best talkers he had found among birds and beasts. Said he, "There's more to a blue jay than any other creature. He has got more moods and more different kinds of feelings than other creatures, and mind you, whatever a blue jay feels, he can put into language. And no mere commonplace language either, but rattling out-and-out book talk and bristling with metaphor, too, just bristling. And as for command of language, why, you never see a blue jay get stuck for a word. No man ever did. They just boil out of him. And another thing, I've noticed a good deal, and there's no bird or cow or anything that uses as good grammar as a blue jay. You may say a cat uses good grammar. Well, a cat does. But you let a cat get excited once, you let a cat get to pulling fur with another cat on a shed nights, and you'll hear grammar that'll give you the lockjaw. Ignorant people think it's the noise which fighting cats make that is so aggravating, but it ain't so. It's the sickening grammar they use. Now, I've never heard a jay use bad grammar, but very seldom, and when they do, they are as ashamed as a human. They shut right down and leave. You may call a jay a bird. Well, so he is in a measure. He's got feathers on him and don't belong to no church, perhaps. But otherwise, he is just as much a human as you be. And I'll tell you for why. A jay's gifts and instincts and feelings and interests cover the whole ground. A jay hasn't got any more principle than a congressman. A jay will lie, a jay will steal, a jay will deceive, a jay will betray, and 4 times out of 5, a jay will go back on his solemnest promise. The sacredness of an obligation is such a thing which you can't cram into no blue jay's head. Now, on top of all this, there's another thing. A jay can outswear any gentleman in the mines. You think a cat can swear. Well, a cat can, but you give a blue jay a subject that calls for his reserve powers, and where is your cat? Don't talk to me. I know too much about this thing. In the one little particular of scolding, just good, clean, out-and-out scolding, a blue jay can lay over anything, human or divine. Yes, sir, a jay is everything that a man is. A jay can cry, a jay can laugh, a jay can feel shame, a jay can reason and plan and discuss, a jay likes gossip and scandal, a jay has got a sense of humor, a jay knows when he is an ass just as well as you do, maybe better. If a jay ain't human, he better take in a sign, that's all. That was Mark Twain, and I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.